Well, I want to thank Art for covering the last couple Sundays and giving me a chance to take a little bit of a break. And so we're going to jump back into the Book of Acts. And we are seeing Paul and Silas. They have come through to Philippi. They've been led there by the Holy Spirit. And they are going out down by the river, preaching and teaching, when all of a sudden this demon-possessed girl, comes and starts following, declaring that they are preaching the message of Jesus Christ, that they are preaching the message of salvation. And so Paul, in his frustration of having this nagging every day, casts the demon out, and we see that people respond to seeing God's glory in different ways. The master of this girl, seeing their prophet being taken away, have a problem with that. Rather than recognizing God's glory and seeing the good that he's doing, they decide that they're going to take Paul and Silas before the magistrate. And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 16, verses 19 through 24. But when her masters saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they seek customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, as we look at this passage, the first thing that really hit me is that it's hard when life feels out of control. It's hard when life feels out of control. See, Paul and Silas were preaching, and the next thing you know, they're snatched up, they're taken before the magistrate, and they are accused. They are accused of teaching things that subvert the Roman authority. And they don't even get a chance to respond. The minute that they are accused, the magistrates take them, they rip their clothes off, they beat them, and imprison them. Talk about out of control. Can you imagine? One minute you're going down to the river to pray, to preach, and the next minute you're being beaten and thrown in prison. Completely out of their control. Nothing they can say, nothing they can do. The world changes in one minute from freedom, free to speak the gospel message, to being silenced and imprisoned. Life's full of these uncontrollable moments, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, in the past 2 weeks, Julie and I found out that we are going to have a daughter, and more than likely we'll have Down syndrome. A week later, I get into a car that I service well, take for every oil change, do everything I'm told to do with it, and the check engine light comes on. I wake up yesterday morning, feeling good, get out of bed, and all of a sudden the muscles pull in my back. In the span of 2 weeks, all of these things start happening. Can't change it. Not everything I'm supposed to do, but it just is. It's the way that things are. Some of you might have experienced things like this. Have you ever been laid off for no reason? Have you ever had a job where, you know, you were doing everything you were supposed to and they say, "Sorry, I had it happen. I worked at the Billong Expo Center and they sold the building. So there goes my job." Not that I was bad at it. Doing a good job. But it's gone. Ever lost someone you love unexpectedly? Get a phone call that there was a car crash, and that person you planned to spend the rest of your life with is gone. get a phone call that said that that child felt ill at school. And by the time you get to the hospital, not there anymore. Ever woke up with pain that didn't go away? We experience these things, don't we? It's not because anything we did wrong. Not because we were bad people. Not because we were trying to be awful. Just circumstances in life happened. And we look at these circumstances, and I can almost guarantee that for all of us, we felt hopeless. What do I do? Can I end up here? In a situation like this, unsure of my future, unsure of where things are going to be. And so, as Paul and Silas are experiencing this in the Roman jail, the Philippian jailer, who they were entrusted to, is about to experience the same type of uncontrollable moment. In Acts 16, verses 26 to 27, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now, the thing that you have to understand about this is that to lose a prisoner like us today, if some prisoner escapes or something like that happens, they might get a reprimand, right? They might be like, why were you being careless? Why did you end up in this position? The Romans were not so kind. A life for a life. If you let that prisoner escape, your life is void. That may seem harsh to us, but that was the reality of the world that they were in. And as I look at this and experience this, I'm going, well, what do you do about this? Was he in control of the earthquake? Was he in control of the doors popping open? Did he release his keys? This jailer had done nothing wrong. He was doing his job, and all of a sudden, his world changed. He just he's looking and thinking to himself, my life is void. There's no hope left for me. And so this jailer is put in a position where there's nothing he can do. He has no voice, no way to explain it. And all these prisoners are gone. Which leads us to our second point. When we face these uncontrollable moments, some of us try to take control. Some of us have a mentality of, I am going to fix this situation. And when this jailer faced his uncontrollable situation, he decided that the best way to take control back was to take his own life. I'm sad. The only option he saw to relieve his pain, to relieve the shame on his family, was to take his own life. Brothers and sisters, unfortunately, there's many people in this world that feel the exact same way. They look at their problems, they look at their hurts, they look at their pains, and they start to recognize, I'm not good enough. Life gets too big, and many, many people in our world choose to take the most precious gift that they are given, their life. Because they don't see the reality. It's the only way they can control their circumstances. You know, for many of us, we put ourselves in very, very similar situations. truth, we try and take control by turning other things on. We've got people here at this church who turn to drugs to solve their problems. We have people here at this church who at one point in their life turn to alcohol to solve their problems. We have people here in this church who at one point look for other people to fix them. If I can just get that right relationship, if I can just find that person to make me happy, if I can just get to this situation, if I find that person, they're going to heal my life, they're going to make me whole, and everything is going to be better. You see, we as human beings have a tendency to try to take control of our lives, and what we don't seem to understand is that when we're doing that, when we're trying to take over and do what is God's job to do, we end up putting ourselves in bad situations. Our solutions to life never work out. When you turn to drugs or alcohol, it destroys your body. It begins to kill you physically. But it's not just killing you, it's killing your family and everybody that loves you. People are watching you fall apart. They're seeing you, the person that they love, die. They're watching as you hurt them over and over again, drunk in fits of rage. The people who turn to relationships look and they're constantly after that person to fix it. And when that person can't fill that void, they walk away. I'm going to go find somebody who can. So those relationships get damaged. So people end up, they get married because I love this person and they're going to solve all my problems and my life's going to be better. And they have kids and because they finally realize this person can't be perfect, I'm leaving. And now, their child is left in a broken home because somebody thought I could take control of my world by trying to solve things through a relationship. You see it with people who become obsessed with their work. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to make lots of money. And they can use themselves and say, this is going to take care of my family. It's going to provide security. And if I work hard, I'm going to be able to solve all of my problems. And they work, and they work, and they work. And their children wonder, where's mom? Where's dad? Do they even love me? Do they even care? They're never around. And all this money that they're building up to try and create this sense of security, what happens when we get a recession like we did? Or maybe a Great Depression, and all that hard work, everything that you put your energy into goes away. And you're left with nothing. We have so many damaged people in our world today because we put security and finances over relationships. Broken children who feel unloved. In fact, it matters no matter how you try to take control of your life, no matter how you try and solve the problems, when we go to our best answer, it always ends up hurting us and the people that we love. Which leads us to our third point. Hope comes from giving control to God. You see, the jailer, and his decision is, I'm going to take my life because circumstances are bigger than you, they're beyond my control. But look at the difference in the way that Paul and Silas approach it. In Acts 16, verse 25, it says that at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You see, Paul and Silas, they took control of the uncontrollable by giving it back to God. They recognized, absolutely, this is too big for me. This is beyond my control. Nothing I can do, nothing I can say, is going to solve the problems that I'm experiencing in my life right now. And so instead of looking at this uncontrollable pain, at something that's overwhelming, is that if God is allowing this, if God is putting me in this situation, it must be good. It must be good for me to be here where I am right now. And what do? They prayed and they sung hymns. I want you to think about this situation, okay? I'm a big baby. You ask my wife. Okay? I am a big baby. I get sick. Sweetie, can you make me some soup? I'm going to cuddle up in bed. I am a big baby. When I think about someone ripping my clothes off, when I think about somebody hitting me with a stick from my back bleeds, when I think about being dragged into a damp dungeon and being clasped inside of socks so that I can't move and my legs move and my arms are, oh man, I'm only one right now, it's not even a question. And yet, they go through this experience and they rejoice. You see, things start to switch for the Christian when they start to understand that the uncontrollable, the things that we can't control, are things that God has good in you. And that if we are going through something, God has good plans for us and what He wants to do in them. There's a guy named Chris Goldman. He's a minister for the Church of Christ in Rancho Cordova, California. And he wrote a book called Vibrant Faith. And in this book, he talks about one of the members of his church whose name was Bonnie. Or is Bonnie, I assume. Bonnie was like most of the rest of us. Had a normal life, went to work. One day, Bonnie went to bed, and when she woke up in the morning, she couldn't move. I want you to think about that. Go to bed tonight, lay down, close your eyes, you wake up, eyes open, and you put your feet on the floor. Except if you try and put your feet on the floor, they don't move. And the panic, you start to think, and you try and move your arms, and you don't go anywhere. And you're just laying there, stuck, and you're down. I imagine all of you have a great deal of sympathy for Bonnie and I. How horrible. So Chris said to me, I'm so sorry. The physician who wrote in his book about Bonnie, she claimed her paralysis was a gift that had moved her from self-reliance to God-reliance in just a matter of weeks. What would have torn away any faith in most people brought grief into her life. What would have caused many to turn their backs on God caused her to look to God for the first time in her life. How amazing is that? If she looked at her situation and she said, God is teaching me that I have to trust Him. Because what answers that I can come up with on my own, that in my own strength, I can do nothing. But through Him, I can do anything. The fact of the matter is, Paul and Silas were surrendering to the uncontrollable. What did it save me of the life of this jailer? And his soul, and not just his soul, but his entire family. In Acts 16, verses 27 through 34, it says, the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoner was dead, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for light and a man and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed God with all his household. I want you to think about this. If you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling and feeling like the world is just too big, something wrong is what God is doing. Maybe just over the hill. And maybe just around the corner. This jailer is seconds away from throwing away God's most precious gift. And in that moment, God, through the Apostle Paul, reached out and said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. That's good for you. When it comes here, when it comes to eternity, something good waiting for all of you. Don't ever believe that this life is not worth living. Don't ever believe that life is not valuable. That's your greatest gift from God. He put a piece of himself in you. Never forget that. You be that voice for others. You see, when we get the uncontrollable and we trust in the Lord, it impacts people. It causes them to look at their world and think differently. You see, I've said this over and over. Can I give each of us a story? Any good story has hardship. If you're writing a book and you don't put some conflict in there, nobody wants to read your book. Okay? If nothing goes wrong, you're like, this is a diary. Who cares? You throw it away, right? You want the conflict. You want to see people struggle and succeed. You want to see them come out on top. That's the beauty of the gospel message. Jesus Christ came out on top. Thank you, God, for you. You're powerful and beyond all things. You have been given a story. So when you trust in the Lord and turn it over and give him control, these are the things for other people to do. I've told this story before, and I apologize, but it's the best analogy I can think of. Most of you know that I've been divorced. It's not something I wanted, not something I'm happy about, but I turned to God at that moment, and I looked and I said, "God, what do you want me to do? How do I make my life right again?" And God led me to live for him, to be focused on him and his will. And I had a co-worker, when I was in the reserve, come to me and go, "John, how do you come in here with joy in your heart? After all of this has happened to you, and you're just broken up with a girlfriend, you go, 'I can't deal with life.'" And he said, "The only way I knew was because Jesus Christ is bigger than me. He's bigger than you. If you put your trust in him, he will help you through this too." He wanted to know why. I wish he had had the follow-through to look that direction, but it still impacted him. And your story impacts people. This is deep encouragement to me when I know that there are people who have suffered from anxiety and depression, and you know what? They show up anyways. They come here even though it makes them uncomfortable to be around people, because the trust that God is bigger than their sorrows. Encouraging to me to see that God can pull people out of the depths of their misery and bring them hope. Your story has an impact. See, our world is filled with the uncontrollable. There's so many things we can't fix on our own, but when we trust in God, when we put our hope in him, he is going to do amazing things. Thank you. question is for you today, number one, have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? If you have not, that's the place where things start to change, because you can't handle the uncontrollable on your own. This is what we read earlier. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That he will carry you through. But he can only carry you through if you're willing to surrender your life to him. If you're willing to make that choice to say, today, I'm willing to die to me. I don't want to be in control anymore. I don't want to be the one making the choices, because my choices have hurt me. They hurt my family. I don't want it anymore. I want to give Jesus control of my life. I want to die to myself today. I want to meet with you in the waters of baptism. I want to rise up to be a different person, filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to walk a new life, ready to every day remind myself that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to walk into amazing things. That's the place where it all starts. But for us, who are believers, back to the idea of, am I constantly willing to accept whatever God puts in my path to trust me for my good? That's where we need to be as believers. Trusting in the goodness of God, and no matter what comes, no matter what uncontrollable circumstance, it's our path that we will not end. We will not move. We will remember that God is good. Let's pray. Dear my Father, Lord God, I just want to come to you now, and Lord, I want to thank you so much for the witness of Paul and Silas. Lord, you tell us that our testimony has an impact. But if we have to learn the word of our testimony, we will overcome. Lord, thank you for your testimony. It speaks so much of the impact of what you can do when you decide to do your loving work. Lord, I pray that as a congregation, we will be a people who trust in you, who trust in your goodness, who trust in your love, who trust in you working everything out. Lord, help us to embrace the uncontrollable. Not to look at the uncontrollable as the stopping force, but to trust that you have overcome, and we can trust in your power to overcome our life as well. Pray for strength, we pray for wisdom, we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, most holy name.